Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
God, I just pray right now, Father, for the spirit of wisdom, Lord, to come upon this church and your people, God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, Lord God, always be acceptable to you, Lord, and everything that is said today, Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Musicians, beautiful, beautiful musicians. So talented. Wow. Okay. Glory to God. Woo. Elephant in the room. I'll be honest with you guys. Today's a tough subject. Yeah, I know you're thinking that now. You're like, come on, John! Then it might be like, bye, John! It was a very interesting sequence of events, actually. Last week, I was getting, you know, because my mind races and I like to think about pretty much everything. So I'm just thinking things through, and I come up with a subject in my head, and I thought, geez, I should put that on Facebook. Yeah, no. Then I was like, well, I'll go there. And I thought, well, maybe not. And I'm actually tossing it up in my head, all these different notes going on in my head. And I thought, Facebook, not the Facebook. And honestly, this is exactly what happened. I get an email from Pastor Graham saying, John, I'll be preaching somewhere else. Can you preach? I went, well, yes, I can. I happen to know a topic. So I sent him the email and said, this is what I want to preach about. In capital letters, he wrote back, well, that's a big elephant. It's actually one of those elephants that everybody is talking about. It's on the TV, ads, news, getting texts about it. And even though it is one of those huge topics that everybody talks about all the time, it still sits right there in the middle of the church as a big white elephant that we actually really don't want to discuss because we might offend each other. So the title for today is It's In Your Hands. All right. I personally would love to get back to normal. And maybe on the news, see rates about suicide deaths. That would be interesting. Imagine if every single day they put up on the news and the ads and the texts, suicide deaths. Yeah. Maybe obesity, heart disease. This is my favorite one. Male breast cancer. That's a thing. I know, right? We should put that up on the news every single day. Or not. Very awkward. Okay. So that's what we're going to address today, COVID and the vaccine. Before, right? I told you, I did warn you. For those who are like, oh, good, John's preaching. Now you're like, maybe he shouldn't. So, COVID and the vaccine. Before we go on, I need to make this clear. There is nowhere in the Bible where it mentions the word vaccine, okay? Actually. For those who like Latin and are studying it, it is in that specific translation. Yeah. Some of you are like, what? But in a totally different context, and if you want to know what it is, you can ask me afterwards. Moving on. Okay. So COVID and the vaccine are one of those subjects, like I'm going to preach today, where you really need to first study information. You got 2 Timothy 2:15, which is study to show yourself approved unto God. So don't just be ignorant, you know, maybe look stuff up, which is okay. And then you think, but John, there's so much information out there. That's a very fair point. But that's why we need to seek wisdom. James 1 verse 5, Pastor Graham was preaching about that recently. And then when you have information and wisdom, you then apply them both. This part's important. You apply them both to the ways of God. Like just what Rachel was saying. Even though sometimes the ways of God are countercultural, It's like, you really want me to give my, you know, meal, part of my meal, my last meal to you, prophet, and I'm going to give it to you first? That doesn't sound right. Where's all the information? You know, I need to Google this. Yeah. Because this kind of subject is called an open-handed subject. An open-handed subject is a debatable subject. It's open-handed, it's up for debate. There are some closed-handed subjects that are not up for debate. All right. For example, grace is a gift from God. He gives us grace. This is the part you're not going to like, or you might like, but he gives us grace. Therefore, we must give grace. That is a closed-handed subject. The definition of sin is a closed-handed subject. It never changes, even in the New Testament. 1 John 3 verse 4 says, sin is breaking the law. Oh, John, yeah, New Testament law. Wait, the New Testament wasn't written at that point. So the laws of God have never changed. It's not up for debate. Remembering that grace is thankfully also a closed-handed subject. Hey, so you're like, oh my gosh, breaking the law, closed-handed subject, we're doomed. No, grace is also a closed-handed subject. Psalms 51. And the best part is that the answer to sin also has never changed and is a closed-handed subject. In 1 John 3 verse 5, it says, and you know that he, that's Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. Closed-handed subject. So other things, obviously, idolatry, you know, don't worship idols, that's always good. That's not up for debate. And another one is church unity. Church unity is not up for debate. So in the Bible, there are many closed-handed subjects. They're not up for debate, but there are also many open-handed subjects. And unfortunately, we often in a church see open-handed subjects as closed-handed subjects. But we need to consider for open-handed subjects the cultural and the historical context. Yeah. For example, this is my favorite one. This is my childhood, okay? Brutal, traumatic childhood. No. God was good. Deuteronomy 22 verse 5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So when I was young, I was taught this verse by some teachers that men, boys, should never wear skirts and should never grow their hair long. Because, you know, it's in the Bible. So imagine my horror when I discovered there were multiple cultures where men wear skirts. You've got the Bhutan people, Scottish people, Burmese people, Moroccan people, Tongan people. Guess what? The ancient Romans, you know, when scripture was written, the New Testament. And you also had the ancient Israelites. And I'm thinking in my head, they're all going to hell. Actually, this is really quite long about cultures. I love cultures. I really do. I genuinely find cultures beautiful. Like, there are parts of every culture I don't like, no matter what it is. But geez, I love culture. It's a colorful rainbow of God. It's beautiful. Anyway, so the list is quite long, you know, garments. And also Samson he grew his hair long. I mean, just mind-blowing. So open-handed subjects need to be viewed in the correct historical and cultural context. For example, just getting on my little soapbox for a minute. Whenever I hear anybody say, women should not preach because it's the law, and then I just look straight at them, I say, are we under the law? And then they go, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're going to tell me that women can't preach because it's the law, and then in the same sentence say, oh, but we're not under the law, you need to make up your mind. Which one is it? Maybe go learn some Greek in its correct cultural and historical point of view. Greek word for nomos, for those who want to know. It means law, but it's multidimensional, that word. It's amazing. Okay, so I'm going to get off that because that drives me crazy. That one drives me crazy, actually. Yeah. All right. So people are quite passionate about their closed-handed subjects that are actually open-handed subjects, depending on cultural context. So how do we approach these open-handed subjects? And you're going to find that in James 3, verses 17 to 18, where it says, and I need you to understand this, guys. This is the whole premise of what I'm trying to get across here. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. If you have what you think is an opinion based in wisdom, then I would wonder if you are portraying it with peace. Are you gentle? Are you willing to yield? Because maybe then it's not wisdom. Maybe it's just an opinion, which is okay, but don't fool yourself. It's without partiality, it's without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So if your wisdom that you want to give to somebody else isn't sown in peace, then is it even righteous? So with this kind of subject where it's so open-handed, we have to keep that in mind when we discuss it with each other. I'm going to move on. So with that in mind, I've got 3 points today. I'm going to be telling you the points up front so that you can prepare your mind for it. The very first point, yes, I know, it's like that. The very first point I'm going to bring up is called pastors and politics. Second point is faith or fear. And the third point, the hidden agenda. Yeah, I know, right? I put that one last, so hopefully you'll stay long enough to hear it. Glory to God, eh? All honor to Jesus and his wonderful, wonderful Father. All right, so yes, let's go first. First point, pastors and politics. Now, you might not know this, but behind the scenes, pastors actually do connect with the local members in politics all over Australia. Yeah, you know, some people are like, why doesn't my pastor get more, you know, involved in politics? They are probably very, very heavily involved in politics, but just in the background. Pastors are often seen as people who should be telling their congregation who to vote for. Well, for someone who's been involved in politics, they're all evil. No, that's not true. Just the sound effect was very, you know. All right. Actually, there are godly men and women to be found in the majority of them. In the majority. There is no whole, that side is really evil where they're all evil and that side is all really righteous. Okay, I've been in politics to know that there are some very good godly men and women in politics. So when you vote, you'd vote with your conscience, guys, and the word of God, which means what does God think about certain subjects? What does Scripture say are closed-handed subjects? And does the person in my area, do they agree with the word of God? Because if they do, I'm going to vote for that person. Yeah. I know, right? Closed-handed subjects don't change. So don't vote against the word of God. And subjects that aren't specifically mentioned in Scripture, open-handed subjects, are for your conscience in the context of holiness. Then you can make a personal decision. Come back to the word of God, make a decision there. All right, an open-handed subject right now. Yes, I'm going to go here, guys. Are green passports and mandatory vaccines. Last week, I was in a cafe, and I forgot. Okay, I've literally just made my order. I'm about to sit down, and I've got my face mask on. And while I was waiting, someone walked right up to me and scoffed at me because I'd given into government population control. I know. It's fine. Now, I do understand that it's very interesting, actually, how much power the government has actually in control in our lives. I'm personally not a fan of the government controlling everything. In fact, one of my pet peeves is speed limits. I'm not making that up. I can see some of you definitely agree with that. And whenever someone says to me, oh, John, we've got speed limits, you know, for the safety of people, I'm like, if you want to be safe, stay off the road. You know, the only reason why we have speed limits is for your convenience, actually, so that you can drive to the shop rather than walk. So you can get to work via a car instead of taking a train. And honestly, the only reason why we have speed limits is because people want convenience. Me, I'm like, get off, just get off. And for the love of sanity, people, stop driving in the right lane. Anyway, moving on, right? I'm going to move on. One of my other pet peeves, and I'm going to bring up another one. This one I wasn't even going to talk about. But I was having a chat to Pastor Graham. Yes, I'm throwing him under a bus. Yeah. And I was having a chat to him about this particular thing I really don't like about government control. And he said to me, he's like, you should mention that. So here I go. Since I was very, very young, maybe not since I was born, but for as long as I can remember, my wife is going to kill me. I've hated wearing clothes. Honestly, feel them rub against my body all the time, like constantly. I don't know, maybe people wear things they don't even notice they're wearing it. Me, I can feel it. If you ever have a conversation with me, you'll notice I always do this, just my neck. It's because I can feel it around my neck. It's horrible. I only wear clothes for your convenience. And maybe hygiene, that's always a good thing. Yeah. And your mental health, I get that. You know, I've had people actually say to me, no, John, it's not like that in the Bible. You know, modesty, everyone's wore clothes. I'm like, you've never read the Bible properly. The disciples used to go to work and completely unrobe. Absolutely, 100%. Yes, they sure did. If you don't believe me, look it up in the Greek. Oh, for the Lord, don't Google naked disciples. Right? Wife's like, get back to the point. But it is in the Greek. So anyway, so over the last maybe 2,000 years, some draconian government installed a law that controls me for you. Yeah. In fact, because I'm in the safety industry, I go to safety sites and they're wearing 4 layers of PPE. Yeah. I'm like, disciples. Wait, if I'm a disciple of Jesus, does that mean... No, I got it. Yeah, I'm getting the big R, I got it. The thing is, if I really hated speed limits and other things, yeah, I could absolutely post it on Facebook. There is a new law that passed this week. It is the online safety law that passed this week. I'd be very careful what you might put on Facebook these days. In Australia. Online safety. Awesome. So if you're easily offended, yes, I might put it on Facebook, but certainly don't maybe come over my house and don't go through people's phones. Moving on. Okay, so there are absolutely things that we are allowing the government to control ourselves, and ultimately we want the government to legislate us. We want the government to legislate us. If it improves our convenience, our safety, and our health. So when should the whole church, as a body of Christ, stand against legislation? Well, when the government forces you to sin against God. For example, deny Christ as your Lord and Savior. We see that happening, or obviously worshiping an idol. We see that in the book of Daniel, you know, where the law of the land was to worship an idol. And so we have Meshach, Abednego, Shadrach, and because they refused to bow down to an idol, they were thrown into the furnace, okay? And you can read about the story as it goes. But that was a no moment. That was a no, we are not bowing down to government legislation because it is a closed-handed subject. So right now, pastors, church members, politicians, they're all really kind of struggling with the whole concept of green passports, mandatory vaccinations, and how it will affect the church. Will it stop the church? Will it destroy the church? If you are, thank you, if you are concerned about that, let's get back to Scripture and the words of Jesus, where he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Oh, wait, there's another line here that says, "Unless it's green passports and mandatory vaccines, that's way too much for me." Okay? No. Gates of hell, not against our church, not against the body of Christ. Now, it is possible, to be fair, that governmental interference may affect the church, for sure, especially from gathering specifically. Maybe it will force some church members to actually open their own Bible rather than just coming to church once a week. Ouch, I know. Or maybe even go to each other's homes. Invite each other over for dinner. Yeah. Good. But legislation at this point does not stop you from gathering. I think if legislation was ever passed to stop us from gathering, this is my personal opinion, open-handed subject, but I think that if legislation was passed which prohibited all Christians from gathering at all times, even online, well, then I think we really need to discuss that when that, you know, to cross that bridge when it gets there. But at this point, no, it's okay. Cross that bridge when we get there. Point two, faith or fear. Isaiah 8, 12 to 13 says this, "Do not say, 'A conspiracy,' concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats." Now, actually, that context there isn't about the other people threatening you. It's about the threat of the conspiracy. "Nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts," yeah, him, "you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." I think that's a fair statement. Okay. Now, depending on which side of the fence you sit on, I find this very interesting, depends on which side of the fence you sit on, whether it be pro-vaccine or anti, will determine how you read that verse. Yeah, same verse, reading it two different ways. Now, don't get me wrong, I love a good conspiracy, hey? Yeah, I really do. I remember hearing a statement many years ago that said, "It's not a conspiracy if they're really after you." Anyway, so I'm in a ton, actually not a ton, but I'm definitely in a lot of conspiracy groups, all right, because I like it. I like to see what people are thinking in different countries. So there are conspiracies that will literally blow your mind, everything from chemtrails, Bill Gates, 5G, Big Pharma, right down to chicken eggs. Yes, there's a thing. And unfortunately, a ton of conspiracies have been accurate over the years, so I understand people's concern. So if you're anti-vaccine right now, you might believe from the information available that COVID is part of a global conspiracy by unseen rulers, sometimes called the Illuminati. Depends on which group you're in. And that they're using COVID as an international stepping stone to one world government, depopulation, and control of the masses. That's what you might believe. However, if you're pro-vaccine, then you also might believe the conspiracy from the information available, and sometimes it's the same information, that anti-vaxxers will result in a retreat from medical advancement, an increase in misinformation and global deaths. I personally think, whichever side you're on, I'm just wondering if I should stop. All right. I personally think, guys, that whichever side you're on, voice your opinion. I do not think in any way, shape, you should be shut down. I really don't. In fact, I think you should keep it up. You might go to jail for it one day, but keep it up. Anti-vaxxers keep telling people about population control and global dominance. Pro-vaxxers keep telling about medical advancement and the advantage of mass inoculation, so we can know both sides of the story. So, not so we can sit around and argue, but so that we can have more information so that we can make God-centered, wise decisions. But what does Scripture say? Keep this in your mind. Not to be afraid of their threats. In other words, don't be afraid of the conspiracy. I don't mean the verbal threats from other people, like, I'm going to kill those anti-vaxxers. Not that. Or, I'm afraid of one world government. Have you forgotten that God is in control? Don't be afraid of the control of the masses. But John, all those things are real. Yeah, but you are living in fear or you're living in faith, then you get to choose because it's in your hands. What about the children? I know. You might be right. Actually, both sides might be right. We don't know the long-term effects of COVID. And we don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine. So you all got reasons to be terrified. But you can choose your faith and you can choose your fear. And remember, we just had that scripture verse that said, and it finished, the Lord of hosts, him show you hallow. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Not the conspiracy, even as real as the conspiracy might be. Someone sent me a 15-minute video. Maybe last month. And I thought, I'm going to watch this. It'll be very interesting. The first 14 minutes is he's a speaker. And I think it's at a convention, like a school board or something. But he's speaking. For the first 14 minutes, he's speaking about having faith in God to protect you from COVID. I like that. That's good. And goes on, he's like, if you're thinking about taking the vaccine, you haven't got faith in God, we're going to be protected, all this government control, 14 minutes, talking about the faith of God. I thought, this is fantastic, this is pretty good, faith, I love faith. And then the last minute, he then went the exact opposite and talked about how horrible and terrifying the COVID and its repercussions would be, and that we should fear it with all of our heart, and we should stay right away from it. And I'm watching this video, and it occurred to me, man, we really do choose what we want to put towards faith and what we want to put towards fear. It is in your hands. Faith or fear. You get to choose your faith or your fear. The fear of death, yes, the vaccine can kill you, but so can COVID. The fear of getting ill, yes, the vaccine can make you really ill, and so can COVID. The fear of generational degeneration, yes, untested vaccine, we don't know what's going to happen, but this is also an untested COVID. You see, it's the same arguments on both sides. And you get to choose your faith or you get to choose your fear. If your faith is that God will save you from the perils of COVID, I pray that God meets your faith. But what about those who want the vaccine? Maybe they are believing for moral reasons or moral obligation to protect themselves. Well, then again, pray your faith protects you. But it's always about faith. It's always about fear. Also, Jesus spoke about this particular subject. Yes, Jesus did not speak about vaccines. Well, let's see. Okay. I'm just checking if anyone's out there. Oh, you're still all here. Fantastic. It's a bit hard with the lights. Okay. In Mark 16, verse 18, remember, this is the King of the Universe speaking. He says about people who believe in him, in right faith and in wisdom, to clarify, this is what Jesus said. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink any poison or anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. Faith or fear. And actually, ingest and inject are from the same grouping of words. So why are you fearing something on either side? Remember, it's not what you put into your body that defiles a man. It's not what you put in your body that defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart. I had to remind some people of that last week. A Christian group, and they were talking about a Christian who was smoking. And how disgusting it is. It's not a great habit. But how disgusting the person is. I'm like, really? And then I explained to them, I thought it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of your heart. And I'm going to think that maybe your heart isn't exactly right now. So whatever you put in your body in good faith, in wisdom, is not as important as your heart attitude toward God and toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to have to go through a bunch of notes. Sorry, guys. Whichever you do, whatever you choose to do, do it in faith. Because I'm going to say it one more time before we get to the next point. You choose faith or you choose to fear. And honestly, guys, when you choose fear, it's because you believe that Satan wins. Musicians could come up. That would be fantastic. Well, they're somewhere probably around. Anything we do, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you should take the vaccine or you shouldn't, but I'm here to greatly encourage you. Act out of faith, not fear. And I can't promise you that there won't be physical repercussions at all. But if you do things in wisdom, with the information you have, you are allowed to make a choice on an open-handed subject. I want to read this, okay? This is Proverbs 31, verse 6. My wife brought this up. Proverbs 31. It says, she is clothed in strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Yeah, I like that. She laughs without fear of the future. Not, oh no, what's going to happen? One world government. Laughs. Oh my gosh. Because my God wins. Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. But don't worry about anything. Psalms 37, verse 1, and I like this one. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. But do not fret because of evildoers. A lot of horrible things that could possibly be going on in the world. Find your peace in God. Which brings me to my third point that you've all been waiting for. The hidden agenda. Thank you, Mr. Joshua. That was awesome. Thank you. Pleasure. All right, look, guys, maybe COVID has been used by Satan to shape the world for global governing dominance. Maybe, potentially, it is. But I don't think that's the worst of it. Oh yeah, John, it's the mark of the beast. Well, actually, it's really not. If you go through the book of Revelations, specifically there are two verses, Revelations 19 verse 20 and Revelations 20 verse 4. It's up on the screen. But it states a same sentence structure. So both these verses have the exact same sentence structure as each other. And when you've got two verses using the same sentence structure, which is you receive the mark and worship the beast or his prophet, it means that they're grouped together. So that's a really important distinction. So if anyone here had to get the vaccine, did they say to you, now you must worship the beast? If not, safe to say that it's not the mark of the beast. All right, so calm down. So John, what is the hidden agenda? If it's not one world government, it's not mark of the beast. Guys, I think the biggest hidden agenda has already creeped into the church. Is it Satan and the Illuminati? No, no, it's something that we're doing. We are using COVID to divide ourselves. Man, I just imagine Satan going, well, that was easy. Like, I've been trying to divide them for thousands of years. I didn't even have to work on this. This is what's actually going to call in and bring in my wonderful one world government. Because if I can divide and conquer, I've won. But these people, they're doing it themselves. Unity in the church. Galatians 3:21, John 13:35, Philippians 2 verse 3, Romans 14 verse 19, Ephesians 4 1 to 3, Romans 12 verse 16, Ephesians 2 verse 14, my Lord. Do you think it's not important? Titus 3 verse 10, this is brutal. It says, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Because unity in the church is more important than your open-handed subject. So what does that mean? Does that mean we can't express our differences? No, go for it. I think it's fantastic. Like I said, I want to know what other people's opinions are. You wouldn't believe the people that I follow just because I want to know what their opinions are. Yeah. You're allowed your opinion, but guys, can I just say that I think it's our response that matters. Now, before you get me wrong, just in case you think I'm a super holy person, and those that know me know I'm not. Glory to God. I need Jesus. You know I'm completely guilty of this. Over the years, I've had to apologize to a bunch of people for my verbal violent outbursts. You know, in the past, I've put up my opinion and I've had somebody private message me. They send me all sorts of messages telling me how rude and inconsiderate and ignorant I am. And instead of me going, okay, that's fine, that's your opinion, it's all good. No, usually I like to berate them. Yeah. And then I've gone, oh, I better repent for that. And sure, honestly, over the years, I've definitely apologized to people. Those people generally never, ever apologize back, which is fine, actually. Hallelujah. I've reached that point where I'm just like, that's okay. It's all right. And if someone ever says to you, I'm sorry you feel that way, that's not an apology, guys. That's a, I'm sorry you're an idiot. And now I feel better because I've pretended to apologize. And you think I've apologized. It works out really well, right? No, saying I'm sorry is taking responsibility for your actions. So yeah, I've absolutely had to apologize over the years. It's not because I don't think my opinion was wrong. Don't get me wrong. I believe I was totally right. But I had to apologize for my behavior. because opinions are everywhere. But the way that we react to them causes division and it's abusive. So let's respond to each other in, remember the very first verse, peace, to keep the unity of the church. I can forgive those people. Yeah, so if someone sends me abusive texts or, you know, don't apologize, that's fine, I can forgive them. I don't really trust those kind of people. I don't want to be like them, but I forgive them and I bring them into the unity together because we are all one body. We're all one body of Christ. John 13, verse 35, of course, says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And guess what? That love is a healthy boundary kind of love. Yeah. It's a, you know something? I don't think you treated me very well. I don't like your opinion, but it's okay. We shouldn't let open-handed, up-for-debate opinions cause disunity in the church. I'm going to give you an epic example. This is in Jeremiah, and we're going to close really soon, okay? In Jeremiah, what was happening is they were being attacked, and they had enemies, and the Babylonians were coming. It was terrible. And everybody knows or has heard, if you've read or been in church long enough, you've read the Bible enough, you'll have heard, come out of Babylon, right? Come out of Babylon. Heard people preach that. Do you realize that in Jeremiah 38, Jeremiah was saying, go into Babylon. What? He was like, go into Babylon. God wants you to save your life. I know you don't want to go into Babylon, but go into Babylon. God's telling you to go into there because he wants to spare you. So they literally wanted to kill him because they thought, you are a liar and we don't like your opinion because it is countercultural to what's going on. Interestingly then, later on in Jeremiah 51, then he says, okay, now time to come out. So there's times and seasons for both. And it depends on the information available, praying for God's wisdom, applying it to the Word of God, and then make a decision. Maybe God is telling you, some of you, to go into Babylon. Maybe God is telling some of you to come out of Babylon. But maybe we should stop judging and hating each other for that. Either way, last verse, Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Thankful for the beautiful salvation that God offered us. Thankful that even though sometimes we live in a total sin bubble, let me explain that. When the fall happened, it cut this entire universe off from being the full glory of God. You know that scripture that says, for all have fallen and fall short of the glory of God? It's actually all, like not just people, like everything. There is nothing inside this building that is the full glory of God. Every person has, but we have not reached this pinnacle of the glory of God yet. All of creation groans. Remember, if you've read that scripture, all creation groans under the weight of sin. We live in this sin bubble. And no matter what we do, we can't get out of it. You can be the most perfect person on the planet, but you are in this sin bubble. So what God did was he thought, well, we want to pull people out of this sin bubble because we want to save them. So God wants to save you from this sin bubble and actually sent his son into the sin bubble to die for you so that he could pull you out of it.